You're listening to Amud Bechazarot, Daniel Eisberg, Maseches, Pesachim, Daf, Mem, Zayin, Amud Beis, right? Amud Beis, yeah. Okay, so we are going to start from five lines or so, six lines from the bottom. Shalach le'Rav Chisda l'Rabba. So we've been talking about the principle of Hoil, right? That since something is mutter for one purpose, it could technically be mutter for one purpose, so we're allowed to, even if you're not using it for that, because you might use it for that, you can. Is that right? So this was a machlokas between Rabba and Rav Chisda. Rabba was saying Hoil. Rabba was saying a Hoil, and Rav Chisda was arguing against the principle of Hoil. So now, Shalach le Rav Chisda le Rabba biyad Rav Acha bar Rav Huna. So Rav Chisda was sending a message to Rabba, trying to argue against Hoil, but he sent the message through Rav Acha bar Rav Huna. Right? Yeah. So he's like arranging a truv. I guess they were no longer in the base measures together, but he had a good one for him. So he says the following. Miyamrin and Hoil, do we really say Hoil? Well, we're gonna take a look at a Mishnah over here. It's a Mishnah in Makos that seems to indicate that there's no Hoil. This Mishnah is gonna seem like there's no possibility of Hoil. But we learned in the Mishnah Yesh Choresh Telem Echod V'Chayvin Alehem Yishum Shmon Alavin. So there is a time where you can do one plowing. And in that plowing, you can violate eight lavin at once. Nice. That's a good one. So anyone who's looking to rack up eight for one special.
No, those games. What? Those games. Like, you know, the Avera game. Basically, it's like how many Averas can do at one time. That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it depends where you're at the yeshiva. But, what are these eight lavin? So Hachorish b'shor v'chamor v'hein mukdashim. So somebody who plows with an ox and a donkey under one yoke, or they're just attached to one plow, and they are mukdashim. They are sanctified. So this is actually we've hit three at this point. Why? So let's take a look at Rashi. Because there's a problem with plowing with the donkey and ox together, so that's the one right there. The hein mukdashin. Okay, so overall a shor who kadshem is bayach. So when you sanctify a shor, that becomes kadshe hamizbeach. That's like a korban. Mishum lo savod bechor shorecha. The chol hakadshim kibachor, and all kadshim are like a bechor. V'alachamor. When you sanctify, when you're makdish, a donkey, so the donkey is not kadshei mizbeach, right? So rather, it's the value of the donkey is goes to the base of mikdash, and the donkey could be used for base of mikdash purposes, but so it's sanctified, and using it for your own purpose is using hekdish, but it's not the same as using a karban for your own purposes. It's a different isser. But it reminds me shum lav to hezid b'me'ila, of using me'ila on purpose. Da amran b'fer kol sha'a. Hezid b'me'ila b'azara, that there's an azara for it, so there's like a lav. V'gomar chet chet mitruma. So hari shlosh lavin chalukin. So over here we have three separate lavin. We have one of using kudshim for your own purpose, one for using hektish that's not kudshim for your own purpose, and one plowing with a shor and chalmak together. But over here we're talking about getting different lavin, meaning really if I plow with 100 oxen that are all kudshim, so I violated 100 lavin there. It's 100. I violate 100 lavin, but it's the same one 100 times. We're not looking for that. That's not fun. We're looking for eight separate lavin. So that means lavin chalukin. That's why we chose an ox and a donkey, because it's too, like, you know, we didn't choose a donkey and something else that can't be a donkey and a deer. I mean, also no one plows with deer, but whatever. You know, a donkey. We use something that could be kudshim and something that's hektish, but not kudshim, and the Easter of plowing with them together. That more of kilai. Okay. And the last two words on the Amud, the kilayim bekerem, and we're talking about kilayim in a vineyard. So that's another one. We're up to
kilayim in a kerem.
Yeah, that's just one. That's one. Yeah, so up to four. Turning over to Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Vishvius, and it happens to be the Shemitah year. B'yom Tov, and it happens to be Yontiv. Okay, so now we are at six. And who is this guy? A Kohen and a Nazir. Kohen and a Nazir, a Beis Tuma. And he's in a Beis Tuma. Rashi says it means a cemetery.
Kohen and a Nazir. Why not just Kohen?
Because then we're at seven.
Oh, we want eight.
We're trying to maximize. We're trying to get as many as we can. And the Isser, so let's take a look at Rashi again. Shviest over Mishum Sadacha Lotzizra, obviously. The Choresh told the Dezoreya. Kigon Choresh Lachasas Ezria. And the Choresh we're talking about here, the plowing is a tolda of planting. For example, plowing to cover up the plants. So that's definitely a problem during Shviest. Uba Kiloim Bekerem, it's interesting. Rashi flipped the order. Under Rashi, right? I think Rashi had a different gear, so. Maybe Rashi had a different gear. Right, that came before Shvius.
Oh, yeah, this should have been.
Okay, interesting. Just noting that. Debahadi de Kachoresh, Mechapa Vikiloyim, Mechapa Vikiloyim, Loke Hare Chamisha, right? So when you cover up. But he says five over here. It's interesting. He says that this is number five, but really, in the order of the Gemara, also it's five. Shvius would be six. So, okay. It looks like the Rashis were just put out of order then, for some reason. Okay.
Because the Shvius starts here and it starts here. Oh, it's the one messed up.
Could be. Yeah, it could be. Anyway, yeah, so anyway, covering up. So when you cover up Kilayim, so if you're plowing and in that plowing you're covering up Kilayim to make it grow, then that's a violation of it. Of Yom Tov Hari Shisha, Yom Tov is six. Oh wait, hold on. Maybe I miscounted. No. No, it looks like it's out of order. Right, Yom Tov is the sixth. The Shabbos, right? Yes. Yom Tov is the sixth, meaning that Shvius, according to this count, was the fifth. You know, so the Rashi's are in order. I wonder. It looks like Rashi had a different gear, so the Gemara. That's what it looks like, or of the Mishnah. You check out the Mishnah because maybe later. Okay, so why don't we say Yantav? Why don't we say Shabbos?
I don't know.
Okay, so Rashi's gonna get that. The Yantav Ahari Shisha, the Shabbos Latana, Mishum Delash Nitan Lazarus Misas Basin Hu, Dein Lokin Alav, because Malacha on Shabbos you get Misas Basin, you don't get Malchus. Violating it's a lav with Misas Basin. We're looking for a case where you violate eight lav and get eight sets of malchus for eight different reasons. That's what we're looking for. And so yantif, when you do malacha on yantif, so that's just malchus. You don't get misa for that. Yeah, but for malacha on Shabbos, you get skila. So that's why we said yantif specifically. Okay, the kohen v'nazir are based on Tamarat. She says shezeh based on kvaros. We're talking about the cemetery. V'hu kohen v'nazir v'yishkan lav de kohen lo nefesh lo yitama. V'lav d'nazir, al-nefesh meis lo yavo. The two separate Yisurim. So even though he's the same guy, but he has two lavin on him not to become Tameh, and this guy is becoming Tameh.
It's a vineyard that is a graveyard?
Yeah. He's planting a cemetery in a graveyard. It's like no one else was here, so.
It's very fertile soil.
Yeah. Actually, well, that'll be a debate in the corner, so we'll see that. Okay. So now we are at eight. Great. And then the mission over there, then I think it's Reb Meir who tries to throw in another one. He tries to say, and he's wearing shatnas. Yeah. And it's like, no, that's not
the same action.
Yeah,
you had to put it on earlier.
Right. But the Gemara doesn't go that far here. The Gemara quoted enough for its purposes. And the Gemara meaning Rav Chizda sending a message to Rabbah. Yeah, I think, yeah. Yep, so Rav Chizda sending the message to Rabbah, so he says, that's enough to disprove Ho'il. How? So he says, V'i amrin on Ho'il, but if we would say Ho'il, acharisha lo l'chayiv. He shouldn't be chayiv for the charisha, for the plowing. Why? Ho'il v'chazi l'kisoy dam tzipor. Because it'd be fitting for the covering, the kisoy dam, of a bird. Meaning, on Yontif, you're allowed to shech the bird, and you need to do kisui dam over here, covering the blood. And therefore, the dirt that you're digging right now could actually be used for that purpose. And therefore, you wouldn't get malchus for the plowing on Yontif if it would be for that. So when I'm doing the plowing, I should just say, ho wheel, wait, hold on. This is, you know, looked like it's plowing. This is actually not plowing. This is actually getting some dirt to cover, to do kisoy dam on the bird. But if you say ho wheel, if you don't say ho wheel, then you say, no, I can't possibly use this dirt for kisoy dam. I mean, like, right, we're not, right, if you don't say ho wheel, so we don't view it as that. We say, no, right now you're not using it for that. So this is what it is. We don't say, maybe you'll come to use it after, and therefore you're not going to violate it. No. If you're not using it for kisoy dam, you violated it right now, therefore it's 8 tzitzit tzimalkus. So that's what the Mishnah needs to say. It says 8 tzitzit tzimalkus. If we held a whole wheel, then it'll only be 7. Amar of Papa Bar Shmuel. No. Bavanim Makorzalos. We're talking about the plowing is being done on Avanim Makorzalos, like these like pointed stones that could not be used for Kisoy Adam. You need to use dirt. So, over here, meaning it has no shaychus to kisoy dam, the ground that's being plowed that we're dealing with, there's stones over here. So the Gemara says, well, ruuyos lekosashan, but they're fitting to be grounded up. Even these pointed stones, you could technically crush them into dirt to do kisoy dam. The Gemara says, v'kasisha b'yom tov mishari, who permits that? That's a grinding up stones. That's a toldav of tochein, of grinding. That's a malacha. So you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to grind on Yontif to produce kisoy dam. So the Gemara says, well, the kosashan kila achayad. Sorry. Who permits that? No, kila achayad. No, but if you do kill achar yad, right, with a shinoi, Rashi says, alide shinoi, disus ba'almahu, so now we're only talking about the derabana, the kevin de medir raisa, shari, poka le malchus. So you wouldn't get malchus for this, right? Because medir raisa, you're allowed to grind up stones in a kill achar yad, in a way of shinoi, and then use it for kisoy dam, so you could technically do it here, so there wouldn't be malchus. So this plowing could technically produce kisoy stones that could be crushed for kisoy dam, and therefore if you hold a whole wheel, you shouldn't get malchus here. Gemara says, no, it's bitsunma. Bitsunma is like, no, we're talking about like it's very hard ground that would not be able to produce dirt for kisoy hadam, and also, like, you wouldn't even be, whatever would be produced wouldn't be able to be ground up for it. So the Gemara says, we're talking about sunma? Sunma barzriahi? Barzriah? Is tsunma bar zriya? We're not talking like that. We're talking about clearly a case where the ground is fertile enough. Back to what you were saying, it's ground that's fertile enough to be planting in. But sunma is not that. So the guy says, no. We mean tsunma milmala, va'afar tichuach milmata. No, it's the top is like a hard tsunma surface, but underneath there's like softer dirt that can be planted in. So the Gemara says, okay, then the Vitepa claim is Shum Afar Tichuach. Right, but then that, if that's the case, then we're talking about the Afar Tichuach. Then the Afar Tichuach can be used for Kisoy Dam. Right, so at the end of the day, you keep trying to change it, but whatever you produce in this plowing can be used for Kisoy Dam. So any of these things, this is something you can use for Kisoy Dam, and therefore if you hold a whole wheel, there shouldn't be Malkus here. So Ella Amar Mar Bar Rav Ashi Betina. No. We're not talking about dirt. It's not dirt here. It's tina. It's mud. Rashi says tit lachu balul. It's mud, and that can't be used for kisoy dam, but you could plant in that. So that's how we explain this. That's actually trying to explain this mission. This mission is a case where it's good for planting, but you can't use it for kisoy dam, and therefore therefore that's why there's no whole wheel, because you can't use this for kisoy dam. No shaychus to kisoy dam. Hold on, Vatina barzriahu? Is Tina really barzriah? Can you plant in Tina? b'mesunta. So it's where it's Rashi says Eretz Lacha Ruuya Lizria v'Enanasis Afar in Bala Kosachahi v'Debekas v'Negavelas. Right. So it's land that's soft enough. It's like mud that's soft enough for planting, but you can't make it into not, doesn't become dirt that can be used for kisui dam. And if you come to grind it, midabekes v'nigvelas, it's like kind of like it sticks to it and it's dough, so it doesn't really form into dirt in the day. So it's something that has no shaykhus to kisui dam, but you can plant in it, and that's what we're talking about. Okay, fine. So that deflected that raya. Isve, Abaye challenged with a different raya. Hamavashel gid hanoshe bechalav. It's the same theme. Somebody who cooks a gid hanoshe in chalav. So it sounds like it's baser bechalav here. Biyom tov, right? So it really, I think it's totally on a machlokas. Ah, good question. Because you're only allowed to cook that which you can eat on Yom Tov, but you can't cook things that you're not allowed to eat, right? Like if you cook,
not allowed to eat
it. Yeah, if you cook pig on Yom Tov, you not only you didn't eat it, you violated a law of cooking because that's not ochel nefesh. So gid hanoshe as well. Though it's debatable whether gid hanoshe is actually basar.
So we had this before.
Yes.
Like wood.
Right, exactly. So Rashi says over here, "Alokim yishum mevashel gid biyom tov, bishol shein roiv. Alokim yishum mevashel baser b'chalav. Afilu hu chol v'kesaver." And he holds yesh begidim but no sin time on baser him. That there is no sin time in gidim and it's baser. That was really a machlokas, but must be going according to that shita. So yeah, good. So mevashel gid hanoshe b'chalav biyom tov. So we're at 2. The ochlo, and you ate it, loka chamesh. So we have 5 sezmachos here. Loka mishum mevashel gid b'yom tov. First of all, you cooked a gid on yom tov. You can't cook on yom tov if it's going to be a gid. Viloka mishum ochel gid, and you also ate the gid hanasha. Viloka mishum mevashel basar b'chalav. Also, you can cook the basar b'chalav. Even cooking is nisser. V'lok mishum ochel basar b'chalav, and you ate basar b'chalav, also nisser. V'lok mishum havara, also you lit a fire on Yantiv that you're not allowed to do for for purposes that are not ochel nefesh because you can't eat this. V'iyam rinan ha'wil, but if you would say ha'wil havara lo l'chayiv, ho dechazile l'tzarcho. If ho'il was okay, I shouldn't get in trouble for lighting the fire, because I could use that for something else. Right? I lit the fire, I cooked something I shouldn't have cooked, but the fire could also be used for something else. So see, there's no ho'il. Amar Lei says back to him, I guess whoever's talking to Abaye, I'm not sure who exactly, Amar Lei. Someone in defense of Rav Chisda says to Abaye, Apik havara va'ayel gid hanoshe shel nevela. So take out havara and throw in that the gid hanoshe is actually of nevela. Ooh, okay. So now we have a fifth one here. I wonder. I'm not sure if the spelling out of what the 5 things were is part of the text of the brisa. I don't know over here if he's amending the text of the brisa. Or if the brisa actually stopped after we said there are 5 lavin. I think it makes more sense to say the latter. I think it's even the Gemara often will amend the brisa, but I think if we can avoid saying that, it's better. And it could be that the brisa doesn't spell out the 5 lavin. It just says there are 5. And then the Gemara, or Abaye, in the Gemara, says, and you know what the 5 are? These 5. And so far. So then he's responding, No, you got the list wrong. You derived incorrectly. I think both are possible. So he says, Vahatani, and then here's the problem with that. Vatani Rav Chiya, but Rav Chiya taught regarding this brisa, Lokin Shtayim al achilaso v'shalosh al bishulo. But Rav Chiya didn't, while he didn't spell out what the five lavin are, he told us that two of them were achila related, and three of them were bishul related. Three of them are on the cooking itself, on the eating itself, and three of them on the cooking. V'isa, and if it's true that one of those five are that the Gidonash is nevela, or one of the five is that's Gidonash of nevela, v'isa shalosh al achila sumi ba'ilei. Really, three of them are about eating. Right, the fact that it's a gid hanasha, the fact that you're eating basar b'chalav, and the fact that you're eating gid of nevela. So that's three. But Rechia said that there are only two of the achila. So if you want to get rid of the havara one, you got to have to put something else that's a lav not regarding the achila, but rather of the bishul. So let's see. Elo apik havara v'ayel atse mukze. So rather take out havara. And what was the thing that, what was the fifth lav you violated here? That you used wood that was muktzah. The Gemara says, hold on, muktzah deraisa? Is muktzah deraisa? So it seems, so the Gemara first says, Amar lei in, yeah, it is. Dichsiv, now this might not be the exact muktzah that we know and love, right? Because, it's related, but the... This, the Gemara over here is assuming that an aspect of it is deraisa, and then of course there's a rabbinic extension. But in tichsiv ahaya bayom hashishi, that it was on the right. This is found in Parshas Bishalach regarding the man, and it was on the sixth day. Vehechinu es asher yaviu, and they prepared that which they brought. Veazharasa behacha, and the azhara comes from here. Milo sasikom malacha. Basically, what we derive from this pasuk is that you can only use on Yontif, on Shabbos, what you prepared, Shabbos and Yontif, what you prepared for Shabbos and Yontif. So something that was not prepared for it, you cannot use. Now, it seems that this is not the exact rabbinical extension to the muksa, which is moving it. This is saying, I think even this would agree, meaning this opinion right now, that's suggesting that muksa is deraisa. It's saying that moving it, of course, that's a derabanan. But the concept of using something, not moving it, but using wood, let's say, that wasn't prepared in advance for yontif, that's possibly a deraisa. Right? Rashi says, just take a look. Muksa dahashta leka lememar. Hold the midraisa usher the mishtamish beish muksa biyamtov muksa deraisa bit me. That's a question. Veichinu, and they prepared. They prepared. So b'mezuman shemizamein kol tsarko hayom, that they would prepare all the things they need to prepare, all the needs for the day. V'yomer davar zeh letzarach hayom, and they have to say this thing is needed for the day. D'mishum tareach melechas Shabbos lo tsarich, and that because of the effort for melechas Shabbos, they didn't need to haksiv es asher tofu ofu. Everything that they would bake, and everything they would cook, they would cook. They came into lav mezumanhu, v'kusum karo hachana. Since it's not prepared in advance, and Pasuk calls it hachana, preparation, havelei malacha. It's considered basically a malacha. V'over alei mishum lo sastika malacha. So basically, it's as if you're like violating, don't do any malacha on yontif, because we were told to prepare in advance. So if we're told to prepare this stuff in advance and you didn't, so now it's yontif. So you doing what you're doing, you preparing this now, when it should have been prepared in advance, you're doing a form of malacha here. And that is the fifth lav over here that's the fifth lav, but this is not Hoil related, and that's the point. That's this response. It's the fifth lav, but it's not a Hoil lav. So Amar Lei, so he says back to him, but you're the one who said the following, and we're going to take this to the top of the next Amud, but in short, what it's going to say, just so we're able to basically keep the framework that we're working in, he's going to say, you've indicated in something that you've said in the past that muktzah, even this form of muktzah, is not a deraisa. And there's going to be another challenge as well. But just that first part to keep in mind. So, but you're the one who said, Tamar Bayamine, Mirav Chizda, that Rav Chista asked me, Vamrila Baimine Rav Huna, and some say Rav Huna asked me, Hevi se me'afar v'shachtu tamid b'yom tov mahu, if they brought a sheep from afar, it's almost not a joke, right? So it doesn't mean afar over here, it actually means afar. Rashi explains that this means like a ahu, like in some I don't know if it's like a marsh land, but some sort of like grazing area that's actually set off to the side. So from afar is actually not like I think it's fair to translate it as afar, from afar. But it's muksa basically. So it was something that was the carbon tummy that was brought from muksa she'ina nichnas liyishuv yamim rabim, that it hasn't entered in the into the yishuv, the settled area, for many days. Can you bring this for the carbon tummy, the carbon sibor? So what's the halacha about regarding doing this on yantiv? So va'at amart lan, and you said to us, Amar Li, that he said back to me, Allah, regarding this. Se, so let's just take a look at a pasuk to the side from Yechezkel, as Darshan is pasuk from Yechezkel. Se achas min atzon, and it's one sheep from from a flock min hamasayim in mashke Yisrael, from 200 parts of the drinks of Yisrael lemincha leolo leshlamim lechaper alehem nu mashem elokim. Okay, so now darshening this, se velo abachor, he said it's a sheep and not a bachor, right? So the sheep that you bring for the karban tamid has to be a se and mashma, not a bachor. Why not? Rashi says to say mashma shehe royalios bein zachar bein nekeva, because se is a gender fluid term. Dekulan bechal se ubachor ino el zachar, but a bachor is specifically a zachar. So se, by being inclusive of female sheep, excludes the possibility of it being a bechor. Okay, achas, the word achas in the pasuk velo meiser, that excludes it being meiser. Right, because achas is one, as opposed to meiser, that is one that's part of a set of ten. Right. It comes because of the previous nine. As Rashi explains, min hatzon velo hapalgas. That's of the flock and not of the palgas. Palgas is, Rashi says, it's a sheep in its 13th year. Sorry, 13th month. Right, so it's some sort of muta. It's an exclusion to exclude something that leaves the category of keves and goes into the mature adulthood of it being an ayal, a ram. Today I am a man, right? It's the bar mitzvah, 13th month. Today I am a ram. And so the palgas is excluded. Min ha-masayim, and it's from 200 parts. So mimosa shtei meos, shtei nishtayru babor, that it's from something that's left over in the boar, meaning like the pit, the cistern, the vat, whatever the wine was in, that there's still 200 parts of it left in, so that the wine that you take for the nesachim with the karban, so it has to leave over in the pit 200 parts. So you only took 1/200th, or less than a 200th, I guess 1/201st of the wine that was in that pit. And Rashi explains over here that we're talking about where there was wine in the pit that was usher for use, and it's saying that the wine that's usher for use for a karban is bottle and 200 times it. That's what it's saying. And it says over here, mikan la orla shebatela b'masayim, and we learn from here also that orla is bottle in 200 parts, which we know. Rashi says, okay, this is not really the source of that, because we have Mishnah Yomi just finished Maseches Orla this past Friday. And there's a different source for it, but Rashi's saying, like, it's just like, the same kind of idea. We're not learning from this pasuk in Yechezkel, but we see another instance of this. Right? But in general, we have like concept of batel b'shishim when it comes to certain areas of halacha, Orla, and this wine that can't be used for the Nesachim, it's about 200. Shebetel b'sayim. Mimashka Yisrael, that's again the phrase in the pasuk, from the wine, from the drinks of Yisrael. Min ha-moser li-Yisrael, from what's left for Yisrael. Mikan amru, from here we learn. Ein revi'in Nesachim min ha-tevel. that it has to be, the neshachim can't be brought from tevel, untithed wine, meaning because the pasuk says it has to, it comes from the drinks of Yisrael, implying that it was tithed, that the Yisraelim can drink from it, right? So you have to, it has to be tithed wine. Yachol, you might think lo yavi min hamukta, you cannot bring the korban from what was mukta, what was set aside and not specifically designated for this on Shabbos or on Yontif. Amart ma tevel, no, but no, we use tevel as the paradigm. Amart ma tevel miyuchad she iser gufo garam lo. Just like tevel, which is where the iser is part of itself, inherently, tevel is usser, inherently. Af kol she iser gufo garam lo. Also, anything that is inherently usser cannot be used for the korban tamid. Yotza muktza she ein iser gufo garam lo, ela iser davaracher garam lo. To the exclusion of something that's muktza, which isn't inherently usser, it's only usser because of some external factor, right? That it's Shabbos and it wasn't specifically designated, but in itself is not inherently puzzle for the avoda of the korban tamid, right? So basically, what we learn is from using tevel as the paradigm of what can't be used for the korban tamid. It's tevel, because it's usur, yeah, but it's usur gufo intrinsically, as opposed to muksa, which is only usur like from an external part. So now the Gemara says, the Amar Isser Mukta Deraisa, but if you're going to tell me that Isser Mukta Deraisa, Mali Isser Gufa, Mali Isser Davaracher. If it's Usser, it's Usser. If being Mukta makes it Usser Mideraisa, then it shouldn't matter if it's intrinsic or extrinsic. You should not be allowed to use it for the Karma Tamid. Must be that's not really Deraisa. Mukta, even this category of Mukta, is also Usser Mideraisa. And you admit to that. You told us that. You're the one who taught us this principle. Va'od, and one more, and then we'll end with this. Ho atu demart, and you're also the one who said, right? All his words are coming against him. He should have pleaded the fifth, right? Ho demart, chiluk malachos l'shabes, v'ein chiluk malachos l'yamtiv. You are the one who told us. You hold, your shita is, as derived in the Gemara and Makos at the end, Be'ilhin ha'alokin says Rashi, that while we hold of a chiluk malachos Shabbos, which we know we learn from Misach Shabbos, chiluk malachos is not so pashut. Whether you would categorize malachos of Shabbos separately if you violate multiple malachos, is that different sets of malachos? But you told us that by Shabbos there is chiluk malachos, and by Yontif there is not chiluk malachos. Meaning, if you violate multiple malachos, it's all violating one basic law. Aha. So now going back to here, so even if I would ignore that thing that you indicated in the past, ignore the thing you said in the past, which indicated that muksa is only derabanan, but let's give you for a moment, muksa is deraisa, fine. So you're saying muksa is a violation of malacha and yantiv, but also bishol is a violation of malacha and yantiv, right? Back to this case with the five lavin, so you're telling me one of them is bishol and one of them is muksa. And let's say both of those are deraisa, but you wouldn't get malchus for both according to you because it's two malachas and yantiv. You don't. There's no chiluk lav in there. Only if you only say that by Shabbos. Therefore, that is an impossible way to read this brisa of the five lavin. And right now, where I'm holding, it looks like I can't. It looks like we're just going to stick with the first interpretation, which doesn't allow for the possibility of Ho'il. It's not looking so good for Ho'il right now. Can Ho'il survive? We'll find out next time.